Thank you so much. Thank you. My name is Jordana. I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and exercise bulimic, binger, restrictor at times, food addict, volume addict, and a 100 pounder. I'm so grateful for the meeting today. Grateful to be awake. It is my 4 a.m. I'm in Central Standard, and just so I'm so full of gratitude. Side note, I do have some notes that I follow because if not, I like to call myself delightfully long-winded and I will get off track. And so in order to just touch on the things I don't want to miss, I do. So if it sounds like I'm reading at any point, I have a little document on the other tab or whatever. So anyway, that's that. I will start by sharing my before and after pictures because if again, if I don't do it right at the top, I will forget, and then who knows what'll happen. So I began my recovery in 2020, and the picture on the left is me. Directly, let's see, it was about a month before I started my recovery, and I remember I posed for that picture with my spouse, and I was on vacation, and I dreaded that picture so much. In fact, in my head, I was like, "Yep, gonna delete that later." And I'm glad I did it because it shows, the physical recovery. On the right, that picture is the most recent one there. And then I'm gonna show one other if I can get to the right spot. Nope, not that. There we go. Again, the picture on the left is actually from that same trip. And I remember this picture especially well because I was with a friend at, we were hanging out. I think we were doing karaoke or something. And I was trying so hard to not feel terrible physically, emotionally. The pain was almost unbearable. And I remember during that vacation doing everything I can to medicate with food and other things. And I took that picture with her. You can't see her, but she's on the other side of it. And tried to get like a good angle to where I didn't look like death warmed over. But it's just I see the pain in that picture. But I also see someone who was had the gift of desperation, right? And my higher power met me there in that spot. So I'm gonna stop sharing and get rolling. I do like to also start with a quick prayer if I may. God help me to set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me see the truth. Amen. So, from a very early age, I w had stress and strife in my home life. My family was religious, but relating to God and having a higher power as an authority figure in my life was always a struggle because of how I saw my angry workaholic father. My dad did love me, but he struggled with prioritizing me and our family. And I remember seeing his truck floor filled with fast food wrappers and trash from all the food he ate. My mom loved me too, but she kept very busy with a full-time job and events most nights of the week. So I often felt lonely and isolated, even when people were around. All through my childhood and early college years, I was always a very angry child and didn't really know why. I had been overweight my whole life, classified as morbidly obese. And clothes never fit correctly. My friends were all smaller than me and shorter too. I'm not ridiculously tall, but 5'9" is tall when you're Hispanic and in South Texas. So, getting made fun of for my clothes not fitting right and all that kind of stuff, or stared at, was sometimes hourly occurrence. I didn't fit in physically, and I felt like I really had to do everything I could to be funny and smart and make every other aspect of my life picture perfect. I remember my eating disorder from actually one of the earliest memories I have. The very first memory I have wasn't revealed until later in life. I had suppressed it. It was a traumatic event when I was 4 and 5 years old. And then my very next memory is of me secretly eating food. And I'm in the kitchen and making it or whatever. And I hear a car pull up in the driveway. And I immediately feel the shame and the guilt. And I finish eating and then run to my room and hide the bowl or did whatever. And at that very early age, I was probably between first and second grade. I already, not only had that behavior developed, but more importantly, I had the shame and the guilt of my eating, and I knew I was wrong. I felt like I was inherently broken. Certain foods were never really a fixation as much as abundance. I believe that growing up in scarcity, coupled with a shame of overeating, exacerbated that. And, I remember having friends who I did not even like, who were almost bullies to me, but I would choose to go to their house to hang out with them or spend the night at their house, especially if they had good snacks. And especially, I had one friend in particular who just recently I had memories of realizing like how really almost abusive she was towards me, but I would spend the night at her house because her parents had a membership at one of those wholesale places, and the idea of having so much to me was so amazing that I was willing to put myself in a harmful situation. Just insane. So anyway, I remember growing up and parents trying to fix me, sending me to counselors, put me on all the, the different pain ways and other diets trying to talk to me. I didn't know for myself exactly why, because at that point I still didn't have that memory of the traumatic event. I even remember my grandmother taking me with her to her weight loss program in a strip mall to see if that would help. But again, it just was like this pile of all these people showing me how broken I was. I never told anyone about how much or how often or how fixated I was on food. And when I was finally 21 is when I remembered those traumatic events. So I knew at that point that, obviously that was a factor in how I viewed my body and then how I tried to protect myself physically, but also emotionally from anyone ever getting close to me again. And it had become such a part of my identity. Being larger actually made me feel safe. And to this day, it's a point of surrendering and asking my higher power to rebuild my brain, to rebuild those synapses and thought processes so that as I've currently have released about 180 pounds, but still have a little farther to go. My high weight was 420 pounds. Having conversations with 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old Jordana, and lovingly reminding her that the food doesn't make me safe. It doesn't make it better. It does not bring comfort anymore. And but in that moment, like a very loving, compassionate voice towards that child, Jordana, and saying, you did what you could, and you did what worked in the moment, and it did work, sort of. And just really being so compassionate and loving towards that version of myself. And that's what served me too at 420 pounds. Shame never did it. A inner running dialogue of how terrible I am and how I really needed to start that next diet never did it. And what did was the moment when I was finally able to receive and accept an immeasurable, indescribable love from my higher power. I remember I had hit my rock bottom. I was sicker than I had ever been. My workaholism was kicking in. I had really, really dove into my work, and it was rewarded by my bosses. But in all of that, just kept on harming myself with food, regularly eating at multiple drive-throughs in a night, night eating, a lot of behaviors that aided my isolation in food, Socially, I was a relatively normal eater, and then it was always in secret when my food behaviors would kick in. When my health issues came to a head, I was the heaviest I had ever been at about 420 pounds, like I said. And I say about actually because I had stopped getting on the scale, but every, piece of clothing I owned was too tight and was the largest size at the plus size store. Every moment of the day was a struggle to move, to function. When my eyes opened in the morning, I wanted to be dead. My feet would hit the floor already sore. Eventually, I had to sleep with a special pillow because of reflux and breathing issues. My skin was in terrible condition with acne, lots of scarring and darkness around certain parts of my skin. My clothes were all way too tight. I said that, but my hair was getting thinner. My cycle only came every 4 to 6 months. My hormones were so jacked up. My depression was getting worse, and I was on more prescription drugs than I had ever been on for various chronic illnesses, including a thyroid autoimmune disease and type 2 diabetes. So my life was characterized by pain. I even remember going to a new doctor once, and he looked at me verbatim. He was a new, like, primary care physician, and because I, a new doctor would fix it. That was the problem, right? And he looked me in the eye and said, "You're going to put yourself in an early grave." I was upset, of course, like, how dare he? But he was 100% right. And even with that conversation, even with all these mounting health conditions, in the moment, I thought I was in control. I really did. I thought, I have a job. My bills are paid mostly. I have relationships, sort of. And I have, what I need, kind of. Everything I thought was okay. But as I began to realize how unmanageable my life had become, like I said earlier, the gift of desperation, realizing, wow, actually, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. All of my relationships are failing or unsatisfying. All of these outward symptoms, including the physical issues and whatever, were all just pointing me to the fact that I could not do life. I was powerless. And there were times in my life when I had dieted some and had lost some weight. Now I know I was really just a dry drunk, so to speak, that I was following a diet and doing the things, going through the motions, but I was still obsessing with food. And that's when exercise bulimia kicked in of, well, maybe if I, work out enough, I can get rid of the calories that way. And to the point of detriment and pain and injury. The other thing that was a big factor contributing to my eating behaviors was grief. I had several very close losses, and the final one in 2015 was an unexpected loss of my father, which was also from medical malpractice, which added insult to injury, and then going through all the legal turmoil of all that. So in 2020, it was actually Independence Day here in America, ironically, the day we celebrate freedom. And I had, gotten all my fast food goodies. I was in my recliner at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and a cable TV show of all things that was talking about weight loss was on, and I was so critical of that person in the show. But we had so much in common, similar age, similar things, and a traumatic experience that started the eating as a child, all these different things. But I was so critical of the person, like, oh, it's so easy. Couldn't you just it was looking back, I laughed just because it's so ridiculous, but that's how my brain worked. For me, it was everybody else that caused my problems. I remember even starting counseling once, and I sat down that first initial moment and told her about how messed up everybody else's life was and how it was making mine a mess, and how all these other people needed to get. That's why I went to counseling, because all these other people needed help and they were messing up my life. Anyway, so in that moment, my higher power, it was truly supernatural, just basically told me, "That's you." And I had this, like, I don't even know how to describe it, I don't have words. Basically, I just had reality and a clear vision for the first time of how really unmanageable my life had become. And I came out of denial. That next day, I reached out. I found a 12-step group that I had heard of, but I didn't really know if it could help me. I was painfully unique. I was so far gone. I was so broken, like I said, from a very early age. I thought I'm too far gone. There's nothing that can reach me. And I had thought at that point I had tried everything.
That's
I thought I
15
really had.
minutes.
Thank you so much. And so I stepped out of denial and I said, okay, I'm tired of living numb. I'm tired of, believing that life would be better if I wasn't in it. And okay, here we go. Last house on the block. Let me give it a try. And so I began my recovery then in a different program, a program for all kinds of issues. So it included the food. And then in February of 2022, a friend of mine in that program had told me about OA, and I came into the rooms of OA here in San Antonio in an in-person meeting and never looked back. I get choked up just because it's such a beautiful space. Like I said, I believed that I was painfully unique. There was no one like me. And so to walk in the room and hear these people share and for them to have, to have the space for me to share and be really seen was terrifying, but was also so relieving to know, like, oh my God, I'm not alone. There are other people like me. And here's the beautiful thing, like God, my higher power helped them. So it is possible, and sharing, so getting to share that experience and that hope is huge. So the strength comes from the room. It comes from the steps. It comes from a higher power. I will say, one point of strength and of growth and learning that I've done in the last year, especially, was realizing that the steps in and of themselves are not my higher power. OA, the program, is not my higher power. There is no literature, there is no practice, there is nothing that can replace my higher power. Now, all these tools, I love that y'all read the tools every meeting, are integral to the program. And I absolutely go to meetings. I attend at least 7 a week, usually more. I absolutely lean into my sponsor. I lean into recovery buddies, connection people on a very regular basis. I do my daily gratitudes. I stay active in the steps. Sponsoring is one of the tools that I really lean into. It gives me so much hope when I get to share my program, but none of those things can replace my connection with a higher power. My whole life, I was looking for connection. I didn't realize it. I was looking for that connection in the food and the behaviors that I had, especially with food, aided isolation and aided that thought that I was alone, that no one else was like me, all that. And so, like I said, just kind of recently, I feel like I've really learned that there's nothing that can replace. There's absolutely nothing on this planet that can help me. I am powerless over food, but God is there, and there is a solution, and there is freedom. The way that I feel about the freedom is that knowing that it is possible to live without food obsession, the fixation, the constant mind games, calorie counting, this, that, whatever, you name it, all of that are all just distractions from what I'm really tr needing, and that is that connection. And when I truly connect with my higher power, spend time in meditation and prayer, and then for me, journaling is a big piece of that too. That's when then I can have true connections with people. As long as I'm living in this dishonest space, deceitful headspace, that's
That's
when I start to
1 minute,
get,
Jordana.
thank you so much, start to get slippery with the food. And now I'm actually grateful. I can honestly, legitimately say I am grateful that food is my issue, because it is such a regular reminder of what I need, of that I the fact that I need a higher power. There is nothing that can replace that. And I know that might be kind of disappointing to hear. I know whenever I was, especially in the early days of recovery, when I'd hear there's a speaker meeting, I'm like, okay, awesome. And I would flex into that diet pill mentality. Okay, they're gonna say some magical like one-liner that's gonna be just the thing I need to hear. And anyway, I it's a spiritual program. It's the steps. It's my higher power. It's doing all those things. And then also doing nothing and just realizing that I'm loved just like I am. It's all those things at once. And so recovery is hard. If anybody tells you differently, they're lying and they're not doing it right. But it's still not as hard as the life that I was choosing before. Dealing with the food behaviors, having those honest conversations with my childhood self, counseling, all these other things are important, but it really does come down to that spiritual work. So I'm grateful again for the meeting. Thank you so much for the invitation, and thank you so much for letting me share today.